This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Femi Ebebfe, hanging out with you guys here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, alongside my guy Will Hill, as we'll be kicking it over the next 4 hours. Will, how we doing? Happy Tuesday to you and yours.
Femi, what's going on? Fun show last night. We do it again. Let me ask you, let's just get it out of the way.
Oh.
We've never done back-to-back shows together. Do you worry too much? I don't want to compare it to like a one-night stand or one-night hookup. You know what? We've all had those relationships. So
dude, we're like a set, 1 minute in.
You know what? A little bit is good. And then you do it a second, third time. Like, man, I don't know about this. I don't worry about that. I just wonder if you worry about that. What's going on, though? A lot of baseball to bet. Should be fun.
What's going on after that setup? I mean, I guess what you're saying is this is almost like the second date being the day after the first date. Yes. Is that kind of how we feel here with this program? But hey, like, we're going to have many other dates this week. Two to be exact. Thursday and Friday. Yeah. We'll be rocking it here on VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Matt Humans out for the entire week. But it is going to be a fun show, as yesterday was a fun show as well. And to let people know, as always, VSiN.com/watch is where you can watch this show, as well as the VSiN Watch app. And you can listen to us live, SiriusXM channel 158, where we are live 24/7. And make sure to tweet at us throughout the show at VSiN Live on Twitter. At Femi Ebebfe is where you can find me. At Not The Will Hill is where you can find Will. We have our whole crew behind the glass with us here at Circa. Our producer, Corey York, with us on the ones and twos. And there will be three guests joining us across these 4 hours. Starting 30 minutes from now, baseball betting analyst Colby Marcio will join us at 7:30 Eastern, part of the Better Day podcast, contributor over at Covers. We're going to talk all things baseball in tonight's baseball slate. He has got bets for the evening. Can't wait to get to those with Colby in 30 minutes. Then 1 hour from right now at 8 o'clock Eastern, Las Vegas odds maker, our good buddy Jeff Sherman, will join the program. We'll check in and talk a little NBA with LeBron now on the Philadelphia 76ers, plus who he likes for this week's Rocket Classic on the PGA Tour. His Twitter account is at Golf Odds, as sharp as it comes when it comes to betting the golf. Then at 9 o'clock Eastern time, DraftKings trading manager Matt Grill, as we're going to go ahead and chat all things college football betting with the guy setting the lines over at DK. But Will, I mean, there's so much that we could get to in the world of sports. Obviously, a lot of Major League Baseball games that are happening. The National Football League, all 32 teams have now reported to training camp. News coming left and right, press conferences left and right. I mean, this is like, we've made it, man. We have made it. The fall officially begins now. I know it's July 28th. I know it's about to be 120 degrees here in Las Vegas on Saturday. But damn it, this is the fall, because I see football all over my timeline, and I see baseball trade deadline all over my timeline.
I am going to just sit here and play referee and say your challenge has not been overturned. We're not there yet.
VAR?
I love baseball. I love the deadline. So I'm fine, but I'm overturning it. We're not there yet. Once we get to Hall of Fame game, you can sell me, but we still got a week or so. But look, I love the deadline. And by the way, Tigers up 2-0. That's about as big as anything. This is, to me, these are almost like, you know, playoff games in July, Femi. We talked about it last night. I talked about it last week when I was on. I don't think you can over-dramatize the importance of game to game. We talk about magic number for these teams that are, you know, they need this many games to clinch a playoff spot, clinch the division. It's almost the reverse magic number, where, man, two, three losses between now and the deadline. I think your magic number was two. And you got to trade Scooble. If you can keep winning, maybe you don't think, maybe think about keeping them. So those games are so important, but we're getting there. We're close. I get it. We can talk football, but until it's on our TV and we can actually bet it, we still got like a week or so to go.
I know you're putting up the VAR signal and the challenge flag, or the lamp is being lit for the NBA folks out there, but I'm a junkie. So like, all I need is for press conferences to kick off training camp, and I'm there. I'm already here. We're getting clarification on Kyle Shanahan. We're getting all sorts of news today. Oof. Here on this. I mean, it has been something here on this Tuesday.
What a weird story, right?
Just, it feels like there's like a couple more layers of the onion that we need to peel, but hey, they're just going to peel them one at a time. But I feel like in 10 days, we're going to find out something else. Not hinting at anything right, wrong, or indifferent, but it just, I don't think we know the entire story with that one, but we'll get into that at some point later on here in the program. But you mentioned that the Detroit Tigers have a 2-0 lead on the Baltimore Orioles right now. The Rangers are up 1-0 in the second against the Rays. Right now, the Diamondbacks have a 2-0 lead on the Pirates in the second, and the Marlins are up 1-0 against Aaron Nola and the Phillies in the second. But what else do you like here in baseball? We do have one game that will be getting underway, Guardians and the Reds, we believe at around 7:15 Eastern time. Anything that you have sweating currently or anything that you have that's about to get underway?
You know, it's funny. Usually we do these shows and you send in your picks. I send in my picks. We each have, you know, three or four, sometimes on a light night two, sometimes on a busy night five. I come in tonight as an open book, Femi.
Ooh.
Nothing. I am leaning, and I think I'm going to bet Yankees first five on the money line, minus $1.50.
Yeah, you are.
With Cole, I think that's a good price. K is just not that good. Cole, all right, gives up some homers. Yankees lineup is compromised, but I still think that's playable for the Yankees. So we can call that a play on the first five, but I've gone through this, and look, we try to be authentic on the show. You never want to just say, well, you know, I'm going to be on the air, so I got to give out three picks. There's nothing like I always use this line. Nothing I'm cutting in line to bet right now. I think my favorite bet of all of these things that are available is Yankees on the first five in the money line. Other than that, just kind of on the fence with a bunch of stuff. Looked at Tampa, honestly, but they were a big price, and now they're losing 1-0 to Texas. Mm-hmm. With Cal Quantrill on the mound. To me, Cal Quantrill is a bet against pitcher. Maybe you jump in live here on Tampa, but I don't mind being open book. We took some tough ones last night. I bet Washington on the team total over against Scherzer. They had guys on left and right, stranded all of them, and then Scherzer got the pitch count up, so he left. And then, as was well documented, probably too well documented, we had a tough one with Yankees White Sox first five under where we got a couple bad breaks. So I don't feel the need to force it. I don't feel like I'm seeing the ball great the last day or two. And keep this in mind, Femi and the audience, if you're betting, especially player props, we got a week to the deadline. You might see some shorter hooks. You might see, you know what, if I'm auditioning my pitcher, I'll just let him throw his five innings and get him out of there. I don't need to throw him 120 pitches and run him into the ground. You know, we've seen guys this time of the year get traded in the middle of games. We actually saw a guy last night. We were doing the game, Femi. Curtis Meade for the Red Sox, who they just traded for, was kind of a controversial trade. I think he's out for the year. I think he broke his wrist, and we were doing the game and kind of got hit in a weird spot on the hand where there's a lot of bones you can break. There's not a lot of protection. They gave up a very valuable pitcher in Connelly Early, a guy with control who's young, who's talented, for Meade, who got designated for assignment back in March, and now he's done for the year. But keep that in mind. These guys get traded in the middle of games. We're still a week or so away from the deadline, but just keep it in mind. You might see some different usage from starters, guys getting traded, guys on the trade block. Just always something to keep in the back of your head here as we come towards the deadline.
Yeah, broken wrist for Curtis Meade. That's the absolute bad beat there. If you're a Boston Red Sox member of the organization, a bettor, a fan, whatever, like, that is a tough, tough break there, quite literally and figuratively, to trade for this guy. Then 2 days later, whatever it was, now he has a broken wrist. And who knows how you think it might be out for the year? That might be what it is, but it's going to be a significant amount of time missed for this red-hot Red Sox team that has been the story of the month of July. And also, shout out to our guy Gil Alexander for cashing that ticket. I believe that clinched last night after the results there on the 80-1 most wins in July for the Boston Red Sox. But you started it, though, talking about the game that we were sweating last night. Yankees-White Sox. The first five under did not go well for us. But damn it, Yankees-White Sox is a game that we are going to go back to the well with. I'm in lockstep with you. Yankees first five money line is a bet that I have on the card. I can't get enough of what's going on the South Side. I need to have action on this series. And it was pretty simple. I want to align myself with Gerrit Cole. And Cole, obviously one of the better pitchers in the Major League Baseball. Like, he obviously is a former Cy Young winner. Meanwhile, Anthony Kay, not great. And he's coming off a solid start. I typically like to fade those guys. Pitcher that's poor, coming off a pretty solid start, that's Anthony Kay. So I think the Yankees get it done in the first five tonight, minus 126. I know it's paying a little bit more than what you really love to pay for some of these bets, but I think it's worth it with Gerrit Cole on the mound. First pitch for that one over at Guaranteed Rate Field, once called Comiskey Park, 7:40 Eastern time on the South Side. A couple of other plays.
Just rolls right off the tongue. Just rolls right off the tongue. Guaranteed Rate Field. I mean, it's just a classic. It's like Wrigley or Lambeau Field, Guaranteed Rate Field Park. Sure.
Hoping for a guaranteed win with the Yankees tonight over there at once named Comiskey Park. How about the West Coast action? Astros, Angels. Last night I was on the Stros. Tonight I'm on the Halos. Give me the Angels -110 in the first five. This was an easy call for me at a pick and price. Reed Detmers is having a better year than the traditional numbers suggest. On the other side, Pete Lambert for Houston. He's been dealing this month. I totally get it. He's been red hot, but I don't actually buy it. And given what the underlying numbers show, I think he might be a fraud based on how he has been performing. So give me the Angels. Pretty easy click for me at -110 in the first five. And then finally, the plug your nose play of the night, Will. My good buddy Michael Lorenzen.
Oh boy.
My good buddy Michael Lorenzen is a massive underdog tonight against Michael King. Let's do it. Colorado Rockies, first five money line. +168 against the Padres. Here's the selling point. Lorenzen has been one of the unluckiest pitchers in all of baseball, according to FanGraphs. I'm not saying he's good. I'm not even saying he's average. I'm just saying he's not as bad as we all think he is. And that gets baked into the market. Sometimes you got to go dumpster diving. And tonight we are doing that at beautiful Petco Park in San Diego. Michael King is really good, but I think this is a little bit too much respect in the first five. So we're going with the road dog. Oh, you didn't know? Like, we're going with the road dog here. Colorado Rockies, first five on the money line, +168. I do have another play in our VSiN primetime game of the night that we'll get to in the next segment here. But so far, you know, got a couple of favorites and had to round it out with an ugly road dog, bro.
Do you ever think about what's the difference between when you like a dog on the money line and say, you know what, I can hedge my bet a little. I could take a half run in the first five and win on the push. Do you ever consider that?
Not really, because I want the payout if I'm right. Because like if you're right at +168, like, okay, like let's say I go 2-2 on the night, but that +168 might at least keep me at break even or maybe make me a slight winner. So the plus money price is too attractive for me to pass up. So we're not half-stepping. Never half-stepping here on VSiN Primetime. We're going full throttle with the Colorado Rockies. Our Game of the Night preview when we come back here on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill here with you guys on a Tuesday night. 15 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Colby Marcio, baseball betting analyst, to tackle his bets tonight in Major League Baseball. Also talk about some season-long bets that he has. He's got a spicy one that pays out 18-1. We will discuss that coming up in 15 minutes. But Will, we talked about some of the bets that I have. I believe you are also joining me on this Yankees first five money line. What could go wrong after our first five under Yankees White Sox show bet last night? But we will be backing the Bronx Bombers and Gerrit Cole against Anthony Kay and the Chicago White Sox. But let's get to one more baseball game, which should be getting going in about 30 minutes. It is our VSiN Primetime Game of the Night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Yes, indeed. And it is the Cubs and the Cardinals in St. Louis right now. We're at DraftKings Chicago -110 on the money line. You get the Cardinals -102. The total is sitting at 9. So there has been a little bit of interest coming in here on the St. Louis Cardinals. Colin Rea and Michael McGreevy is the pitching matchup that we have tonight. Will, anything that jumps out to you, side total props, when you look at our VSiN primetime game of the night?
I'm wondering what you think of McGreevy, and I have a feeling I know the answer because you're always looking for these pitchers that are due for negative aggression, and McGreevy has been a guy that's gotten me a few times because he's just tailor-made for somebody who's overperforming, overachieving. It's the old Jesse Pinkman, Walter White. He can't keep getting away with this. He is really danced between the raindrops a lot where, man, it's a lot of hard contact. It's low velocity with the fastball. It's a lot of barrels. And the underlying stuff is not pretty, to say the least. But you look at the surface stuff, and he just kind of gets away with it. And the Cardinals have a couple of these guys where I'm starting to wonder, Femi, Is it something in the water? Is it something in like the defensive alignment where they just maybe know more than us? They maybe know more than the analytics, because they got a couple of these guys who continue to just outperform their metrics, but it would only be Cubs on the first five, Cubs team total over. I haven't gotten to the window, haven't played anything, but I certainly can't back McGreevy. I just don't love Colin Ray, who's going for the Cubs. So could be an over, a Cubs team total over. I'd expect runs, but just McGreevy's gotten me a couple times enough to keep me away from it. What's kind of your thought, your handicap on this game?
I mean, I think you know me too well after all the dates that we've been going on over the last like four or yes. 5 months or so. You know exactly where I'm going with this one. It's Chicago. It has to be Chicago. It's okay. Only Chicago. This is my favorite bet of the night. Michael McGreevy is a hard fade. And I know like famous last words on favorite bet of the night, but this dude is a hard fade, man. Like he is capital.
It never works though. It never works.
I'm telling you, he's a fraud with a capital F. I know. This time it will work.
He is.
It will work. The Chicago Cubs, at least in the first five, I don't know what the hell is going to happen in the full game, but in the first five, the Cubs are taking him to the woodshed. I do not believe in this whatsoever. Nice ERA, sick. Congratulations. The FIP, I mean, it's over a run higher than the ERA. Like he is dying to regress. The Cubs could have started you or me, Will. I would have still bet the Chicago Cubs because the Cubs lineup is going to do absolute work out there at Busch Stadium. Shout out to Busch Stadium as they continue to have that be the name and not something else. But I love Chicago in the first five. Minus 110 is my bet. Cubbies, let's get it done. They got it done last night in the first five. We're going back to the well tonight. I'm looking at Marquee right now. They're talking to Alex Bregman. Do work, Alex Bregman. Let's get it home. Let's get it done. I think Chicago takes home the first five, at least, in tonight's game. I had to fade McGreevy. I couldn't look at his stuff and be like, no, I'm going to pass this game. I love this bet.
All right, let me ask you this, though, because I go through this all the time. I'm sure people listening can relate. We got a pitcher we want to fade. Perfect. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Lots of reasoning for it. Now here comes the hard part. How do we do it? Do we go Cubs first five money line? Makes sense. Do we go Cubs first five team total over? Do we go McGreevy over hits? Do we go McGreevy under strikeouts? Do we go McGreevy over earned runs on? You get the idea. You can have the right handicap. It just becomes like how to execute it. And there's so many markets to get at your handicap. I struggle sometimes. I'm like, all right, what's the most direct way to get at this handicap? I feel like oftentimes it is first five team total over because that's just my bats versus your arm. And you know what? It's mano y mano. There's not, my pitcher gives up seven or eight runs. It doesn't matter. If I hit your guy, which what I think is going to happen, I win. So do you struggle with the same thing? Take me through your thought process with that.
Yeah, it's something that I always kick around, but like usually when you really get into like those like derivatives, like you it gets priced in. So like if you say like let me strip away Colin Ray, I don't want him to be a part of this bet. I just want the team total over. Well, you're probably having to pay a little bit higher of a price though too on the team total. You might not get the minus 110 or some instances maybe you do if you want to go out there and really ladder it up and start to do some of the alt stuff. So I tend to approach it pretty straightforward because baseball is not my like biggest thing that I bet on. Like I love to bet on football, I love to bet on basketball, et cetera. So like this is like a tertiary betting activity for me. So the unit size is not as big as it is for basketball or football or whatever. So I don't really get into the nitty gritty of it. I'm just like, you know what? Let's play the hits. Let's stay straightforward. Let's stay on task. I will just align myself with the Chicago Cubs tonight. Hopefully Colin Ray shows up with his stuff. But I think this is just more so about McGreevy. I think he is just overdue. Not due. He's overdue for a stinker. And I think it happens tonight.
You get the thought process, right? Where you and I can see eye to eye in the same game. And where, you know what? It's 5-4 Cardinals after five. And you know what? You were right about the game, but you lost. But I went Cubs team total over and I won. You understand how that could be conflicting, right?
Oh, 100%. I totally get that. But with every bet you make, you're taking on some risk, right? You know, like there's always an outcome that could kind of get you and to where all of a sudden it's like, oh, like, well, actually I read this the right way, but I ended up being on the wrong side of it. So it factors into the equation. But for me, I'm just like, you know what? I just want to go out there and fade this guy. And I think the Cubs can do enough to where Colin Ray, knock on wood, is hopefully not a determining factor in me losing my bet. And it's more so the Cubs just take McGreevy to the woodshed.
Especially at this time of the day when we're doing the show, you know, if you and I were doing a midnight show the day before the games and the props just prop up or just pop up, you know, we could look at McGreevy under strikeouts or over hits. And sometimes that stuff is not ironed out where, you know what, we're doing it a half hour before the game starts. if there was an edge to be made on props, it's probably gotten ironed out in the market. Yep. Overnight and over the course of the day, where, you know what, if it opens, maybe you could bet the under strikeouts, but by the time we're getting to game time here, the edges on the prop market are pretty much dried up. Would you agree with that?
I would. And that, do you think that, because you bet baseball probably more than I do, don't you think props are more popular in baseball than like sides and totals in comparison to other sports? Like, people love to bet football sides, and everyone loves to bet football props as well as basketball props.
Sure.
But it feels like baseball, whether it's K props, outs props, home run props. I mean, we're going to talk to Colby Marcio in about 8 minutes. He's got a lot of props on tonight's card. It feels like because of there's so much volume and the menus are so big in baseball that prop betting is really popular in this sport in particular.
Yeah, and again, the timing of it, where, you know, and if we're doing it midnight, we can probably find some edges on K props or when these lines just come up overnight. You're sitting there 2-3 in the morning, but you know what? Early bird gets the worm, and you're doing it half hour before the game. These lines that are possibly off in terms of the props, you know, those edges usually get gobbled up.
Yeah, that's what it is, you know, when you're betting this stuff. But we will be on, or I will be on, at least I should say, the Chicago Cubs first five on the money line, -110. Against Michael McGreevy, that fraud, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, the NFL preseason is only a week away, Will, and this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. Get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. Then on August 3rd, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from VSiN's experts. You'll also get, I mean, we're just adding on goody after goody here, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits, the AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up on August 1st. That's Saturday, folks. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. The NFL training camp news, Will, has been coming in rampant all throughout. I was not watching the press conference because it always starts like 20 minutes late. It's like an annual tradition. The Dallas Cowboys State of the Union training camp press conference. Jerry Jones with some interesting comments that we can get into later on in the program about, hey, like, I like that the media is not thinking about us as Super Bowl contenders. It's been a relatively quiet offseason for America's team. No negotiation issues with Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. There's no drama out there in Oxnard, California, man.
Then the Mary J. Blige, right? No more drama.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we want. No more drama in our lives. Let's get this. We love it. We absolutely love it. Family Affair. Shout out to that song. What a beautiful song that was. Absolutely overplayed into the ground.
Entourage guest star, Mary J. Blige. She only wants to sign with one of the twins since one of the other twins is creepy. Nice little cameo for Mary J. Blige.
We're going to see MJ hip hop herself over to CAA or whatever. Yeah. Shout out to Ari Gold and Entourage. We could do 4 hours on Entourage. I don't think the listeners would appreciate that. So maybe we'll just sneak it in where we can. But coming up next, we're going to sneak in a lot of baseball props with our guy Colby Marcio, who joins us here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The good times are rolling along here on VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Ebefe here with you guys on this Tuesday night. Got some Major League Baseball going on. Diamondbacks now up to a 4-0 lead on the Pittsburgh Pirates in the top of the third. The Reds have a 1-0 lead on the Guardians in the second part of the doubleheader after they had to make up yesterday's rain delay. But we do have a lot of baseball to still tackle the rest of this evening. And to help us do that, we bring in our first guest, baseball betting analyst, part of the Better Day podcast, contributor over at Covers. It's our buddy, Colby Marcio, and he joins us here via the Progressive Guest Line. And hit him up on Twitter at Colby M. Betts. Colby, it's Femi and Will. Hope all is well. Before we get into your bets for tonight, because I know you have some prop plays for tonight, we're asking all of our baseball analysts, where do you think Tarek Skubal will be pitching after the trade deadline?
Oh, first I got to say, you know, I got all done up for you guys, got a new laptop, and I really tried to make myself look presentable, and then nothing would connect. But I want to say, you guys sound very handsome. I'm sure you look great. In terms of trade stuff, I hate to be a lazy SOB here, but I genuinely hate making speculations when I don't have a finger on the pulse. But I would say, you know, a lot of people are saying the Dodgers. I don't want to be like everybody else because that's too easy. I think it would annoy a lot of people if he went to the Brewers because he might get better over there because they know how to make everybody better over there. I don't have a guess. I honestly wouldn't be shocked if he stayed for some reason because that would make no sense. And hey, it's not like the Tigers have made any sense ever.
Colby, you did such a great job breaking down the Scooble trade market. I'm going to ask you about Mason Miller. Where's Mason Miller playing in 10 days?
You know, as a guy that has a lot of futures on the White Sox, I genuinely hope they don't go and get him because I don't think this is their time to be as hungry as we are hearing about the Red Sox. I honestly think he's going to go to the Yankees. But other than that, I don't know who's going to want to give up a ton for a guy that's out there for three outs.
Yeah. I mean, it is three elite outs, and the game is only eight innings long when you have him out there on the mound. But I totally understand that as well. You mentioned the New York Yankees, though. Will and I were sweating out the first five under in Yankees White Sox yesterday. That didn't go well. We're both on the Yankees first five tonight, backing Gerrit Cole. What do you make of the Yankees long term, though, this season? We're all wondering when Aaron Judge is going to come back. Cody Bellinger is now out the next 4 to 6 weeks with his hamstring injury. Like, what do you make of the Yankees? And is there a way to bet on or against New York going forward?
Yeah, I've locked in a ton of futures on the Red Sox to have some success. Yeah, so some
Hello.
Success in the second half. Can't speak English. Not my first language. Just kidding. It is. How embarrassing. But I think there's a way we can fade them because I'm a Yankee fan. I know Will is as well, and he could probably add on to this. But the Yankees being 18-1 to miss the postseason is a price I kind of don't want to pass up on. Oof. One, because I want them to clean house. Aaron Boone needs to go. Cashman's got to go. How much longer are we going to do the same song and dance in this idiocracy that is that team? They're lifeless. I mean, sure, they won last night against the White Sox after the White Sox scored nearly two touchdowns on Sunday. So it was kind of duh that happened. I mean, over the last 21 games plus, they've had an under 100 WRC plus, almost 30% K percentage. They're not walking. They're not making much hard contact. Who on that team is going to be their savior outside of Ben Rice? If they don't have Aaron Judge, they're lifeless. Sure, the rotation is very, very nice. But in the long run, I think it's going to be between the Rays and the Red Sox because we keep seeing, quote unquote, the Red Sox are going to be super aggressive, which they should. The AL sucks. And you can make the argument, well, the Yankees probably will make the playoffs because the AL sucks. Yeah, but I mean, 18-1 when they're plus 100 to win the AL East, 230 to come out of the AL. Are we watching the same team? I don't think these prices correlate. And I think 18-1 is a steal.
Colby, I think it's me, you, Femi, and maybe like 15 other humans in the world that care about this market. So I'm going to ask you about it. Manager of the year, nobody pays attention to this, but tell me where I'm wrong here. NL Manager of the Year, Femi and I were talking about this last night. I know the Pirates are down 4-0 right now, so it's not a perfect time. But Don Kelly's 8-1. If they ever made the playoffs, man, the narrative is right there, and I can really poke holes in the guys in front of them. The Marlins manager, the Phillies manager with Mattingly, the Braves manager. You know, the Braves and Phillies are always good. Am I missing something? Is that 8-1 not a good bet? And do you have any thoughts here on current prices, AL, NL Manager of the Year?
I think it's a great price to go out and get just for a long shot. I don't want to take anything short. It's still July. Maybe I'll get aggressive in September with a month left of the season, but I think that's a great price. I just want a humble flex here. Last time I was on the show, I gave out Will Venable 50-1 to win AL Manager of the Year. I think that looks pretty sexy. You guys let me know. I don't humble brag or anything, but I will say if you do not have a ticket for the AL, you go and get the Red Sox manager right now. If everything's right about what I see, them making the postseason, them making the second half comeback, I think that's a great look over there. And the last time I checked, I think he was also 8-1, but shop around, folks.
It's hard for us to know how sexy the Will Venable bet is since you're only on the phone and no longer on camera for us, but we'll have to use our imagination here, Colby, as this is VSiN Primetime. Femi Benfe, Will Hill, hanging out with Colby Marchio, a Better Day podcast contributor for Covers, baseball betting analyst, and he's on Twitter at Colby M Betts. You said it yourself, man. You're a Yankees fan, but you're turning into Mr. Boston Red Sox here. You loaded up on Red Sox futures, and you even like them tonight against the Athletics. How are you playing the Red Sox early on in that game?
One, two things before I get into those plays. One, the Yankees don't pay me for anything. Two, I have no bias, and you can't tell me I ever have bias. We're taking the Boston Red Sox. First five, team total over 2.5. For the batter type and box, they have 4 elite-rated hitters and 4 strong, taking on Gage Jump, who has one of the worst pitcher ratings on the day. His last 5 starts has an 8.72 ERA, 5.33 expected ERA, allowing 56% hard hit, 11% barrel rate. And the Red Sox are very, very good against lefties, far better than they are against righties. I also think Wilson Contreras is a go. I took his bases, double, and home run. Has an elite rating with 84% arsenal coverage against Jump. And 34 elite ratings on the road over the last 3 seasons goes over this prop. Basically 56% of the time, last 30 at-bats against lefties, 600 slugging, 1,000 OPS, 320 ISO, 50% hard hit, and 18% barrel rate. I think he's a go.
Colby, Yanks look pretty cheap against against K here. Cole on the mound. I know he's given up some homers. I know Yankees aren't on at full strength on offense here, but do you have a thought here, Yankees and White Sox, two teams you're pretty familiar with?
Yeah, I love Munetaka Murakami tonight taking on Gerrit Cole. His hit price, I got at $1.50. He took his double, which is 7-1. His home run, I think I got around 250. One of the hottest hitters in that White Sox lineup, third highest rated hitter on batter's siphon box. 85.5% arsenal coverage against Cole. In 40 elite ratings this season, records a hit 70% of the time, hits a home run 32.5% of the time. Gerrit Cole, last 30 left-handed hitters face 50% hard hit, 88.9% elevation rate. Those hitters have an expected batting average of 341, 775 X slugging. I think it's a great spot for the kid.
My beloved Seattle Mariners are in L.A. to take on the Dodgers tonight. I'm already dreading how this one might go. But the Dodgers minus 238 on the money line. Mariners plus 193. Castillo on the mound for the M's. Wroblewski on the mound for the Dodgers, total at 9.5. How are you looking to attack that game?
Oh, I like way too much. And it gets me nervous. But if I like something, I'm going to bet it. Luis Castillo has been horrible against left-handed hitters, especially on the road. 282 batting average for those lefties, 540 slugging, 382 wOBA, allows 69.6, nice elevation, 40% hard hit. I like Muncy and Freeman. Freeman's the hottest bat in that lineup. Last 5 games against right-handed pitching, 600 batting average, 300 WRC plus. One of the most consistent elite rated hitters as well on batter's siphon box. 16 this season, not the largest sample size, but it goes over his bases 68.7% of the time, records 2 hits. 62% of the time records a home run, 25%. And then Muncy has 100% arsenal coverage against Luis Castillo. Last 30 at bats against righties, 654 slugging, 987 OPS, 423 ISO, and making a ton of hard contact.
All right, so rolling with Max Muncy and Freddie Freeman. You didn't mention Shohei Ohtani, who is now in a pick'em race in the betting market for NL MVP. Last 40 seconds here, Colby. Who's going to win the NL MVP? Is it Ohtani or PCA?
That's so tough. I mean, if you told me to bet it right now, I bet PCA just because of the price, because obviously we know Shohei's price isn't that sexy, but if he pitches again, it's his, but I don't think he's going to pitch again. So I think it's cool that we're having this conversation. I hope it's PCA as a Chicagoan.
Yeah, I'm sure the city of Chicago is very excited about Pete Crow Armstrong. Had some turbulence earlier this year. We don't have to get into what happened against the White Sox, but since then has really turned the corner and has been swinging a big bat. He is Colby Marcio, baseball betting analyst, Better Day podcast, contributor over at Covers, and he's on Twitter at Colby M Betts. Colby, good luck with the bets, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, man. Be well.
Stay handsome, guys.
Hey, always trying to.
Thanks, Colby.
Trying to stay handsome. Man, this Ohtani PCA thing here, Will. Whoo!
We've gotten off the rails. The show has gone off the rails. Just not even an hour in, we've just completely lost control.
You did set the tone early. 60 seconds.
I'm going to put my hand up. I mean, I'm guilty. I am guilty. But Ohtani was minus 400 to win this award. I was doing the podcast like last week. It's just steadily come down, down, down. And usually I don't get that. Have that reaction of just like a double take when you see these odds because you have an idea where it's going to be. To see Ohtani minus 130 or so to win this award, man, that's the lowest price he's seen in a long time midseason for him.
Oh, we will get into NL MVP when we come back here on VSiN Primetime.
¶¶
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looks like the Tampa Bay Rays have them loaded up in the bottom of the fourth, down 2-0 to the Texas Rangers. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bepe, Will Hill here with you guys. We got the Cubs Cardinals, our primetime game of the night, getting set to start. I am on the Chicago Cubs first five money line. Yankees White Sox is now underway on the south side. Did you end up betting that White or Yankees first five?
Of course, we there said we're going to bet it. I show said bet. I'm going to bet it. Got to bet it. So
show bet.
Let's do it. Show bet. Well, we're coming back for our money. We got our money taken from us. We got our candy taken away last night.
Yes.
Let's go get it back. We deserved better last night. I'm not even sure we deserve to win. I just know we deserve better. So who knows? Maybe we'll bounce back here and hopefully. I think, look, Cole versus K. Cole's a first ballot Hall of Famer, I would think. And K is not that. I know the Yankees are diminished in the lineup, but to me, this is a cheap and a playable price here with the Yankees in the first five.
Yeah, and the Yankees are just swinging at whatever now. It looks like Rosario might have just fouled something off of his shin or his ankle. We'll see what happens here. But already two out here in the top of the first game just started, so we're not sweating anything there, but just keeping our eyes on what's going on the south side of Chicago. Did you ever get involved with the Tampa Bay Rays? I know you were saying that you were looking to fade Quantrill, but you ended up not betting it. This is an opportunity. I mean, they have the bases loaded, one out, so like you could hit into a double play here, but let's see what the live number is here real quick over at DraftKings. I'll go ahead and pull this up real fast. You can get the Rays at minus 120 as they're now the favorite. So an opportunity here for Tampa with the bases loaded. Looks like we went to the ABS, and that looks like a strike to me on the ABS. Yes, that appears to be a strike. So
I'm down 2-0 and I got to lay $1.20. I got the bases loaded, but you know what? I hit a rocket for a double play and we're out of the inning. I don't know that I'm getting a bargain, and who knows, maybe it's, you know, maybe a half hour from now it's 7-3 Tampa and I'm kicking myself for not having the minus 120, but man, I got to lay a price when I'm down 2-0. No, thank you. And ground ball back to the pitcher, to the catcher, one out to the first baseman, two outs, the inning is over. And that minus 120 is probably now, I don't know, plus 250, something like that. I can look in a minute, but we'll challenge here, I think, at first.
It's plus 192. You're giving a little bit too much credit.
Oh, that's still a bad. I mean, that's a terrible price. I mean, I got to get two runs. This is a baseball game. Two runs. It's not like an NBA game where you're down 2 points. Two runs in baseball is a lot. Let's see if the double play holds up. It was just a weak grounder back to the pitcher. The old 1-2-3 double play. The play at first is in question here.
Yeah, it looks bang-bang, doesn't it?
I think he's going to beat it. You might get a run there if you're Tampa. I'm a little far away from the TV, and we've both been wrong on these challenges.
Here we go again.
Somehow in the last week or so, we've both been burned by these, and they're going to commercial. So are they calling that a double play? I thought live it was safe, but man, like I said, I might just have to retire from trying to make predictions on what we're seeing on these double plays, on these challenges.
Kevin Cash, we need to do a little something like this, you know, a little – Do the get to the headset. Let's take a look at it. Maybe they're going to let it go. I guess we'll
find
out.
What did you see live?
Live? I mean,
they're going to commercial.
So it's difficult because like it's up top for us here, and you'll find out this when you come in next week.
Dealing with the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. The lights are a little bit bright, but when they showed the replay, it looked like it was a bang bang play, or maybe he slightly beat it. Now, I didn't get like the best look. I only got one look at it. I didn't get multiple looks. So I'm guessing it's one that you could challenge, especially with the bases loaded. You'd want to challenge it, but I don't know. Maybe the throw just beat him. But to me, it looked bang bang. And as we say, tie goes to the runner, but you know, sometimes it doesn't, as we experienced last week between the Buccos and the Yankees. So we'll see. The live markets are still up. The Rangers are a minus 258 favorite. The Rays are plus 191. So I'm assuming they're not challenging. Because, like, if they were to challenge it, they would not have gone to break. Because they have to do it within, like, 5 seconds, right? Or at least, like, 10 seconds.
Right.
Something like that. It has to be in that time frame.
I'll give you a little nugget, too. I think my umpiring career lasted, like, four games back when I was in college or post-college. Oh. Just wanted to make a little money. It just wasn't worth it.
I took an umpiring class, though.
I was a blue. It was weird. People say blue. I'm looking around like, who are you talking to? I did a few games umpiring. Refing, umpiring, it's harder than it looks. Mm-hmm. It's always easy when you see slow-mo and replays. But one of the first things they tell you, Femi, this idea that tie goes to the runner is a myth. I remember the guy running the course or whatever says, hey, we don't get paid by the hour. You're out until you're safe. Keep that one.
That's very relatable. That might be the most relatable a referee, an umpire, or whoever has ever been in history.
Yes.
It's like, bro, I got dinner reservations, man. Like, the hell with this tie go to the runner stuff. Like, get out of here.
If you're safe, you're safe. If you're not, you're out. See ya.
Okay. All right. That's
tell good, it to the judge.
Good to keep that one in mind, I guess, going forward.
It's funny, though, because we all hear that. We've all heard that a million times from playing, you know, T-ball, Little League. Oh, you know, tie goes to the runner. And from just an umpire who's umped and, you know, teach course on ump, is like, hey, you know what? You're out till you're safe. We don't get paid by the hour here. Just an interesting perspective.
Why did you drop it? How come you didn't keep going with the umpiring?
It wasn't worth it. And then, you know, just getting games, and sometimes you have to commit to it, and then games get rained out, or you'd commit to that weekend, and then, you know, you wouldn't get the games. I was like, you know, it's not worth it. Plus, and this is, again, this is good, like 15 years ago now. It's as bad as they say with, you know, umps giving you a hard time, coaches giving you a hard time. Where it's like, you know, I'm sure if I stuck with it, I know friends that still do it on the side and they like it. They just like being around the baseball field and just being around the game. But it's like, you know, the juice ain't worth the squeeze, as they say.
Like, to me, if you're going to be a referee, I feel like football is probably the best one, just, or maybe hockey, since you're a little bit isolated from the crowd. You know, like most football stadiums you go to, it's like they might be like a bleachers. So, but like, but in between the bleachers, there's like a track and field. Then you get to the sidelines with the teams, and then there's the field. So, like, yeah, you might get it from the coach or something like that. But like, you're not gonna really like have like the crowd on top of you, just like barreling down and being like, "What kind of call was that?" But man, basketball, baseball, whew. Like, I never umped or refereed or anything like that. But I used to work in local news, cover a lot of high school sports, cover some club sports. Man, some of you parents out there, ooh, buddy, the stuff you hear, it is. I'm like, man, this is not on TV, guys. Like, wait, this is low stakes.
Right.
Like, what? I get it. It's a state tournament. A lot of it's
developmental leagues, too, where you're just trying to, like, you know, your kid's 8, 9 years old. You're trying to get him to, like, play 10, 11, 12-year-old leagues. I will say, though, it's a job. I feel like it's a job everyone should do, just to have the appreciation for it and to just see that side of it is really interesting.
Yeah, it's like customer service. Like, you know, everyone should have to have a customer service job at some point, so that you can gain an appreciation for what it's like. Maybe everyone that's a sports fan should have to referee or ump some kind of game, so that they can not just yell at the. And also, play by play. That's another one. I've done it before. You'll get a very new appreciation of the guys who do play by play and the gals that do play by play. Once you do it, it's like, oh, this guy sucks. It's like, well, you go out there and do it. And then you realize two series in, you're like, whoa, this is actually the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But anyways, speaking of hard.
Talk for 3 hours straight and don't say anything wrong. It's easy. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, just no mistake. Because if you do make a mistake, now it's on Twitter. It's on Awful Announcing and everyone's going to dunk on you for the next 6 to 7 days. Sounds like a sick job. Although there's much worse jobs out there. Who am I to say? It's been very difficult to beat Shohei Ohtani in the MVP market, whether he's in the American League with the Angels or in the National League with the Dodgers. And right now the betting market says this is as good as an opportunity as we have seen in quite some time, to where Ohtani at DraftKings is minus 125. Pete Crow Armstrong is even money. Now, we did get overnight and early this morning the MLB.com MVP poll. We knew it was coming at some point this week. It came last night, late last night. 34 experts cast their vote on who they believe is the MVP. They rank them top five. First place votes gets 5 points. Second place gets 4, and on down the line. Shohei Ohtani is still the leader in the clubhouse for the experts on MLB.com. He had 23 first place votes of the 34 that were available. Pete Crow Armstrong had 11 of them. Based on the betting market, based on what we got from the results, like, how do you see this thing playing out going forward? To me, honestly, because we're running up against it, I'll just say I think that this is a buy point on Shohei Ohtani, but I'm curious to get your thoughts with Pete Crow Armstrong having so much momentum with how he has been hitting the last couple of weeks, or a couple months, I should say.
It's like when we talk about the Yankees' futures, who's going to win the AL East, how far the Yankees going to go. It's the old algebra. What's the unknown? The unknown, how much is Ohtani going to pitch? If Ohtani doesn't see the mound the rest of the year, that's one conversation. If Ohtani's pitching by August 15th, that's a different conversation. If I had to make a bet right now, and it's different than what I've been saying the past couple of weeks when I was saying take the field at 3-1, at 4-1, if I had to make, you know what, life on the line right now, make a bet, I'd probably take Ohtani, but I wouldn't feel great about it.
So, I mean, it just depends on how bad this knee injury is. Like, we don't really know. I know he's still out there hitting. But to me, why I'm still bullish on Ohtani is that he's going to get hot with the bat, like, at some point. He's too good of a hitter, unless this knee is, like, a debilitating injury. But I feel like if it were, they would put him on the IL. Like, they have enough guys to where, like, they don't need to have a, hey, Shohei, go out there and grind through this injury. They would put him on the IL, which means that this knee injury is manageable. And if it's manageable, Otani's going to hit much better in August and much better in September. And also, too, on the flip side, is PCA really going to keep hitting 1,200 OPS? Like, that's not who he is. Come on. And he's been doing that the last couple months. I feel like it's more likely he regresses and goes back to swinging at balls in the dirt, and Otani ends up taking home NL MVP for like the 500th consecutive season. We'll talk a little bit more about the NL MVP later on in the program, but coming up next, we turn our attention to the NBA to start hour number two with our good buddy, Las Vegas oddsmaker, Jeff Sherman.